Welcome to another episode of The Career Report. We are your hosts, Tim and Christina Madden. Hey, we come to you, try to come to you more days than not during the week, hey, to help you level up in your career in corporate America. So whether you're looking for a new job right now, just want to see what's happening in the marketplace, or you're trying to level up your leadership, or maybe you're starting a new job opportunity, hey, this is the number one podcast that will help you do that in 2026. Christina, how are you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I was just thinking, people probably think like, or a lot of people that do podcasts probably think like, oh my gosh, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, I have like 50 things to talk about and I don't know if I can cover it all. I'm like, I have so much to talk about today.
Excellent. Yeah. It's funny. I was talking to employees and clients about LinkedIn content and they're like, I don't know what to post. And I'm just like, man, there's just a million things.
I remember feeling like that though. It's like, you got to get going, you know, just get some things out there. And then you realize how much you can really talk about.
For sure. Well, just with AI and just a simple Google search too, there's just endless amounts of information where you can just scroll and be like, hey, that, you know, I can absolutely talk about that.
So
what
AI
are you talking about today, Christina?
AI is not going to solve all of our problems, you mean?
Not all of our problems, but it will absolutely help. You know, it helps for sure.
Well, first I want to talk about like, man, I get hit up about like really complex situations. And I just think, man, I can't imagine being like a job seeker without our help. I see people enrolling in our program and they're going all in on all the supports possible. Everything from us helping to automate their interviews, getting interviews on their calendars, interview prep, salary negotiation, mindset, all the things. People are really tackling all the levels of support that they can get from us. And I'm just like, what are people doing without that help? And there was a situation this morning I wanted to ask you about that I got a message about. And because I know people are going through this and I just wanted to get your feedback on it. And then guys, we're going to ask Tim some mindset questions because those are his favorite. But okay. Just for the sake of like, privacy and everything, I'm not even going to use the same figures, but let's just say you have somebody that is in a job search and, they're still currently employed and they're looking for a job. And wow, since they used our help, they got one, right? An offer, but it was a little sooner than they expected. And their contract where they're currently at, it's not up until March. Okay. So we're in January. It's not that far, but just far enough that it's like the sign-on bonus with the previous company is really high, higher than $30,000. And so the person is like, oh my gosh, like I haven't communicated that with the current company that I've been working with on this offer. And I'm afraid they're going to be upset, but also obviously it's not ideal to have to pay back your sign-on bonus. So what do we do, Tim?
Many options. Number one, I need to know more about the situation a little bit, but here's what I would say. These are all of the options. Number one, we try to push the start date till the beginning of March. It's very reasonable that senior leaders in corporate America, hey, I get it. When you make 50K, putting in a 2-week notice is reasonable. When you're leading global teams at a VP level, man, you know, I'm not saying, right? Like 4 to 6 weeks, I think is reasonable to put in a notice just because you're handing off so many different things. So I think that's fairly common. So number one, ideally would be we push the start date to March 1st as we're wrapping up. We would say something like, hey, Christina, thank you so much for that offer. Really appreciate it. As you know, I have just a tremendous amount of responsibility here. The executives rely on me for so many things. I have current prior. Would it be okay? This, right? Number two.
Now, hang on. I want to talk about this for a second because the average person, right, would be a little bit scared of like, does that jeopardize my offer in any way? And what if they didn't even know I was employed? Then what? You know what I mean?
They probably know you. Well, yeah, this is why I say I need to know, have more information on this, right? But just generally, that's what I do. Now, again, we always want to use neutral tone as well in these emails. For instance, kind of like, would it be okay? So it's kind of like, hey, would you consider this, Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, if there are urgent priorities, hey, let's absolutely reconnect and figure out a game plan to do that. And then I don't know what that looks like. We'd have to talk it out. Number two, at some point, if they can't, hey, Christina, I also would just be transparent with you. I got a bonus and I got this and I got that. And we've seen people, we've seen the new company say, hey, we'll pay that 17.5. If you can start in 2 weeks, we'll pay that 17.5. Again, see how, what's the level of severity of this position? How much mm-hmm. are they losing by not having this person? So by getting this person in there 4 weeks sooner, they might be able to, they're like 17K, we're going to pay that. Let's go.
Well, to add salt to the wound here, the offer's coming in a little lower than they anticipated. So he's in a position too, where he needs to negotiate it higher, and he feels a little, you know, blindsided, undervalued here. So there's a couple things, but this is why, guys, I bring this up because this is why you need to have help from the beginning of the job search all the way through salary negotiation, because you're going to get in your head. You're going to be scared. You may not have the communication skills that work at this level, or maybe you do. You're so in your head that it doesn't even, you just can't clearly communicate it. But the good news is there's offers on the table, right?
Yeah. That's a whole nother training, is the offer thing. You can always get more money. Again, it's how well you did, you know?
While we're on this topic, what's one of the craziest negotiation situations you've ever seen that came out with like the candidate in their favor?
Many. This one I always remember is of relocation. The company literally said six times they weren't going to relocate someone from Tampa to New York City. CFO, I'm telling you, hey, we can't offer it. We can't. All the interviews say we can't, we're just reminding you, we can't offer it. They gave her an offer at the top of the range, but she really wanted the $20,000+ of relocation, right? With that being said, what happened was, when value exceeds price, people move. That's just the reality. How many, you know, I've seen so many times people say, we can't get it done, we can't get it done. But what happened with her is, we asked so many different ways, and then we finally said, they were going to give her 60 days to move up there. But this company needed a CFO. All of their stuff was jacked up. So we literally took this negotiation route. If I could be there in 3 weeks, because you're dealing with ... and I could solve this for you sooner than expected, and likely you can save this amount sooner than later, would you consider? Oh yeah, they would. $25,000. So it just goes to show you, right? There's always a way to make the deal. Right. The problem is, if you're not a skilled negotiator and you don't know all of these things, I can see why it's just very overwhelming.
Or you're lacking the confidence, or don't really understand your value proposition, and you're already sort of settling, beat up in the marketplace. Of course, you're not going to feel like you can say those things. You're so internally lacking confidence that, of course, that wouldn't feel safe and comfortable.
Yep.
For the most part, would you agree that the candidate has the upper hand because they're solving the problem and they have the value?
The candidate has the upper hand. It just depends. There's so many situations. Imagine this. It's my dream to work at Meta. Hypothetically, who's going to have the upper advantage now? It's going to be the company. You know what I mean? Because like, that's what drives me. So it really just depends. I agree with you. If you're able to negotiate, if you're able to convert interviews into offers, bridge the gap, tell them all of the ways you can make them lots of money or save money, you're always going to have the advantage. The problem is, not a lot of people know how to do that, unfortunately.
Okay.
And then most people have imposter syndrome that appears from now and then. Yeah, you know, I made a post that got a decent amount of traction. And then Derek called me this morning with another thing I just want to share with anyone who's listening to this podcast. You know, I'm looking at going to Vanderbilt for a doctorate degree. That's like a top 20 school for the program I'm looking at. They have very high standards. So I'm like, am I going to be good enough? Now I'm looking at my test scores. I'm like, hey, but I've done this. And I'm like, man, even I'm like, man, you know, and it's funny because a Navy SEAL who's been out of the military for about 5 years and had a tremendously successful career in business is talking to Derek this morning saying, I just don't know. I just don't know if it's possible. And me and Derek were joking. It's like, did you think passing Navy SEAL school was possible? Did you think this was possible? So it just goes to show you, Hey, if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, it pops up for everyone, even the most successful people. It just really does.
Tim, if you want to head on over to LinkedIn and send me a DM recode, I can help you with that. Because I don't know if you know this, Tim, but I removed imposter syndrome from the Madden dictionary and the Madden vocabulary. I know this is coming as breaking news to you right now. But imposter syndrome, guys, that's not even a real thing. That's just a fancy word that people have decided to use to give a name to something that makes you uncomfortable just because you've never done it before. And then this current identity of yours starts to negotiate with an old identity or negotiate with old belief systems and patterns just because you've never done this new thing before. And so stop negotiating, you know, with your old self and your new way of being. It's just a little bit of doubt and fear, which can be alchemized to excitement with the new thing. But we're out with imposter syndrome in 2026. Nobody has a syndrome of said imposter. You've just never done the thing before.
Yep. And man, we have talked about this a lot.
Well, speaking of all this,
it's just it's difficult.
Speaking of all this from a mindset standpoint, and not in regards to job offers and money and negotiation or anything like that, but you as a CEO or somebody who's deciding to do something new, like what we're talking about, how do you make decisions when you don't have all the information in general?
Know that you're never going to have all the information. You know, one of the most important things, and sorry, I was looking for what that Navy SEAL specifically said. I was trying to hear you. Here's the thing. In officer candidate school in the military, they teach you to make a decision. Okay? I would wish you have all the information. Most of the time you're not. How can you make a decision based on the information you know? Because right now, think about this. I'm going to go way out there, but if people are shooting at us and I am a military officer and I know it's coming from this way, you just have to make a decision. Are we going right? Are we flanking them? Are we retreating? Are we pushing forward and bounding? I don't know what the correct answer is, but I do know this. You better not just sit there because people will die. You know, so I feel like you're not ever going to have all the information. And then here's the thing. The decision might change over time. We may make a decision right now to do this. And then in the future, we may uncover some more information. But what stalls people is not making a decision. That's where all the dreams are lost. Man, just everything. Just not making a decision. You know, we talk to so many people, right, that choose not to move forward with our, had another guy I'm talking to today, Christina. He was in October, you know, and he was like, man, I'm just like, man, 60, you know, almost 70 days has went by and nothing's changed. Like, I'm glad you're back now. I know we're enrolling you into our program. That's great. But I'm like, man, 70 days, you know, like what, that's cost you so much things. It's cost them money. It's cost them frustration, right?
I'm talking to somebody who's been hitting me up since 2020, you know, and the thought patterns look the same, which tells me, yeah, the person is stuck, really stuck, lack of action.
Yeah.
People highly underestimate the power of just making a choice and moving forward and being okay with it not looking perfect or feeling safe or feeling certain. Right. And even in the situations that you do have a ton of information, it could still feel uncertain. Tim, in regards to mindset, can you sense someone's mindset in an interview and what gives it away?
Their communication and their body language. This is the biggest thing that people don't realize. They remember when they were in a bar when they were young or at a house party trying to talk to a girl. What does everyone do? Or the girl trying to talk to a guy. What does the girl do? Let me put on my lip balm. You know what I mean? Let me take out my makeup. Guy's going to the bathroom. You know what I mean? And the reality is, you know, do you care about yourself? And the reality is, if you can't show up looking sharp, whatever you think sharp is, right, at the beginning, it lets me know that you don't care about yourself, which means you lack self-confidence. You may not think you do, but you do. It's just the reality. Like, if you don't take care of yourself, you lack self-confidence, unfortunately. So number one, I'm looking for that. And number two, I'm looking for how are they communicating? There's just powerful language that you can use. Are they smiling? Are they energetic? Do they actually say, I can help you? That's what I'm looking for. And those skills are so rare. And I always tell people, like, forget your skills for a second. Just forget your skills for a second. If you can do these things, you're already going to be heavily across other people, you know, just so much farther ahead. I really do believe that.
If you guys are listening to this and you have more questions about that specifically, I think tomorrow what I'm going to do, Tim, get ready. We're going to do like a quick little interview role play on the pod. I don't think we've ever done that. So we'll do like how to build rapport, how to communicate, and a little bit of body language and confidence so you can see what it looks like. And we'll do that. That'll be fun. Tim, what internal shift do you see when someone is actually ready for the next level of their life and career?
They know they don't know what they don't know, and they know they need to get help. Any successful person out there knows. Like, I talk to people all the time where they say, hey, Tim, I'd love to move, you know, I'd love to schedule a meeting. I might move forward with you. I'm just not sure, but I really just need to figure out what I want to do next. I really just need to figure it. That's probably the biggest thing that holds people back. I really just need to think, what do I want to do next? And I'm like, brother, sister, if you knew, you would have known 3 years ago, right? Like, what tactic or strategy or blueprint or roadmap are you going to follow so that you know what you want next, right? You don't have one. So that's the real thing that I think holds a lot of people back just right there, is like, they don't know what they want because they don't know the questions to ask themselves.
So you think the biggest internal shift then for somebody when they're truly ready for the next level is they've had a moment where they've thought about what they actually want. They've thought about who they are, what they want, where they're going, what the target is, and they've realized maybe they need help to do those things.
If you already aren't at the level you want to be clear, you need help. Logically, if you knew how to get there, wouldn't you already be there? Right? If I knew how to grow a company to over $100 million, isn't it safe to say we'd already be strategically on that path right now? I have never done that before. So how am I possibly going to achieve that without massive help from likely lots of different people? Mm-hmm. If you have never run a marathon, I could just keep going on and on to all of the things, but you need to get help. I don't understand why so many people are resistant to help. It's the hack to life.
I think because, you know, it's not just like the resistance to get help, like admitting like you need help. Then there's that whole psychology of feeling like not good enough and oh my God, and you're embarrassed and there's shame. And there's so many things that go into that. But I do think when it comes to looking for a job specifically, it is a very foreign concept to, I'm just guessing, 98% of job seekers, it's a foreign concept that you'd ever have to hire somebody to get a system, to get help, talk about mindset, because let's just talk about, like, wouldn't you say that that's more relevant in this era than ever before? Like, it's a foreign concept to people. They're like, wait, what? I need help finding a job. What? I've always done this on my own. I've always known somebody. They've been contacting me. I've always been able to do this. I'm great at what I do. Da, 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 da. It's like, I think in this arena that this is just such a foreign concept. Whereas like, if you're in business, you know, you need help. If you're an athlete, you know, you need a coach. You're sad and depressed, you know, you need a therapist. You're fat, you know, you need a nutritionist. Looking for a job, people never heard of this before. Like, wait, what? I need help now, you know?
It's the same thing with like getting your finances in order. If your finances were in order, and if you knew how to do it, you'd already be doing it. So get some help. If you read books of successful people, which I hope you do, it's literally the ultimate hack to life. When you look at Napoleon's Hill's 14 laws of success, I believe, and that the number one ultimate hack to life, he says, over 100 years ago, is a mastermind.
Right? Did he use that word?
He does. He uses the word mastermind. And he's talking about different consultants who specialize in different things. And it's funny because Andrew Carnegie, who had, I think, don't quote me on this, but in the 20s, he had like a $4 billion steel company. And I mean, imagine back then, it's just ridiculous. He was appearing in front of a judge. I don't remember what he was being charged or something. You know, high level people in business always have people coming after him, but they were questioning his intelligence, and they were asking him all of these weird questions about like IQ, making sure he was extremely proficient. And he said, to be honest with you, I don't know all the answers to any of these questions. But he said, here's what I do know. At my office, I have a red phone. When I pick up that red phone, I can basically tell my assistant to answer any question possible because they know who to call with everything.
Oh my God, that was ChatGPT 100 years ago, his red phone.
It was.
That is wild. I didn't read, that's not the book I'm on. All right, last question. This is a good one. Mm-hmm. If you could rewire one belief that job seekers have about how CEOs think, what would it be? That's a good one. If you could rewire one belief, I know what I would say to that, but I'm going to put it on you. If you could rewire one belief that job seekers have about how CEOs think, what would it be?
That they only care about the results. So to talk about anything else is not good. So if you're in front of a CEO, they're thinking of how to grow their company and how to save money and how to serve their clients better. So that's the biggest thing.
You know what I would say to that?
What's that?
Well, yeah. So that's the most important in any interview conversation, like what Tim's talking about, is you just got to reframe everything you think about this interview and just focus on solving the problem. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, what I see people get really freaked out about is they're like intimidated. And if you already are in this CEO, C-suite, whatever, that's cool. I'm more talking about people at like entry-level director positions, VP, like people that are they need to interview with a CEO, right? And they'll get the conversation going, and then they'll show up on maybe one of my mindset calls or for some coaching, and they're so scared to talk to these people because they think that they're like so much better than them or different than them or so uniquely special that they feel like inferior to or not good enough to be having conversations with powerful leaders. So like, what would you say to that?
What about
people are scared? Like,
I wish,
oh my God, I'm so excited. You get to talk to this CEO, but they're so freaked out that they can't even show up as them, as their best selves and connect because they think they're not good enough.
Here's what I give to the clients. Okay. I say, Nick Saban, man, I remind the team of this every time. And it's regardless of the scoreboard, it should not impact how you play. Mm. So for instance, I'm talking to Christina, a recruiter, a headhunter, an agency recruiter, an HR manager, a cross-functional team member on the team, someone who's influencing decision-making, board members, CEOs. It doesn't matter to me because I am an authentic self of each of these people. I don't look down on a recruiter and I don't look up to board members. They're all just people. I try to be the same person. And what happens is when we internalize, it's just, you know how many times I've heard it's just a recruiter call, it's just a screening call. I want to like jump out a window, right? And then you know how many times I've heard, oh my God, I'm meeting with the CEO. You do that because you think you need to be a different type of person. Whether it's an easy game, whether it's a game that's going to be moderate or a high level game, why would you show up as a different person? Professional athletes don't do that. Successful people don't do that, right? So I would encourage you to be the same person on every single conversation. And if you don't do that, if you discredit talking to people earlier in their career as opposed to later, you're always going to struggle with this, regardless of your preparation.
Guys, I love the way that he put that. And really, that should help like relieve the pressure a little bit, because now you just, again, get to focus on your skill set, who you are, what are your values, how do you communicate, and just show up as that person day in and day out. Even when you're on no calls, show up that way in your content, to your family, to your friends and your community. Really, really work on putting the reps in, on showing up as yourself and getting more... working on your getting more razor sharp in your messaging and your authenticity. And
super important, super important.
And people can feel that, guys, you know what I mean? So like, if you take nothing else from that, let it be that like, you can't really fake it till you make it. Energy is felt and confidence is felt and true authenticity is felt. So really, really think about like who you are. What's your message? What value do you bring? What do you live by? What do you want?
Yep, absolutely.
And if anything else, make it less about you and more about that other person. You know, the golden rule of selling yourself. Stop talking so much about yourself and make it about them and their problem and how you can serve.
So important.
Aye, aye, Captain. I think that wraps
it. All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the Career Report. We will see you back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
Bye, guys.